The Supreme Court has ruled that the Trump administration's military ban on transgender Americans can go into effect, while lawsuits against the policy continue to play out across the country. The ban had been blocked by multiple injunctions issued in lower courts. In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court justices lifted those injunctions. President Trump announced that he was barring transgender individuals from service in July 2017, writing then that the military, quote, cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. I'm now joined by Paula Neera, a Navy veteran, attorney, and a registered nurse, who is also the programming director at the Johns Hopkins Center for Transgender Health. Paula, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So you are a veteran. You've served in the Navy before you came out as trans. As someone who has served in the armed forces, what was your reaction to the ruling today?
I was very discouraged by the Supreme Court action. I think that the district courts got it right, but it's not the end of the fight. Those cases are now going to work their way through the judicial process, and eventually we'll have a decision on the merits.
As we mentioned in the introduction, when President Trump first announced this ban, he gave a number of reasons for it. One of them was tweeting that allowing transgender people to serve in the military, and this is the president speaking, would result in, quote, tremendous medical costs and disruption. What do you make of that statement?
It was either woefully ignorant or intentionally intellectually dishonest, is because the bases aren't grounded in reality. The cost of providing the medical care is inconsequential. About $8.4 million a year is what the RAND study said. Yet, you know, it'll cost approximately $960 million to replace the transgender military people that are serving. And every one of the senior uniformed officers have said that since transgender people have been able to serve openly, there's been no disruption in the force. So the two rationales that were given by the administration aren't grounded in evidence and experience.
If you're somebody today who is in the military, who's serving openly as a transgender person, what happens to you today?
Well, it depends on where you're at. Is if you have come out to your command and you are serving, you are going to continue to serve. And I think that's one thing that the listeners need to understand, is that the thousands of transgender troops in the force today are going to get up tomorrow and they're going to do their duty, and they're going to do it well, and they're going to do it in every branch of the service, including forward deployed and in combat operations, just like they've done for the last 2.5 years. There's a lot of uncertainty for an individual once the Department of Defense actually implements the policy, because that hasn't happened yet, is they need to put an effective date on their policy and actually begin implementing it. If someone who has not come out by that point comes out after that point, then it could be the end of their naval career or their military career, which would force people to serve in the closet.
Which we've seen this happen before. This is definitely something that's part of the military's past in this country, serving in the closet. And in fact, a Military Times poll from October 2017 found that a little more than half, that's 53% of active duty troops, said they support the ban on transgender people serving in the military. How do you take those numbers, Paula? Do they surprise you at all?
They don't surprise me, because people are making statements based off of a lack of information, and they're operating off of their own either implicit or explicit bias because of what they think they know about transgender people. And if you looked at polls, most of the troops who were serving in the 1940s didn't want to serve in an integrated military. Most of the troops didn't want to serve with women. Most of the troops didn't want to serve with gay, lesbian, or bisexual folks. So there's a history of polls that say we don't want to serve with their kind. Yet every time that we've expanded the ability for people to serve our country, the military's gotten stronger.
Paula, what are you watching for next as this unfolds?
Waiting to see the court cases progress, because none of them have gone to the actual trial stage. And also waiting to see what the Department of Defense does about taking any steps to actually implement the new policy.
Well, we'll be paying close attention. Paula Neera is a Navy veteran. Paula, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.